Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
Gentlemen, start your engines, cause we gotta drive. We gotta drive all the way to Homestead, Florida, so that we can see the New Kids. Because that's what we're talking about, is Sean Cunningham's New Kids here on the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, as we carry on with our Season 8, Simply the BS. I am your host, 8-Dan Stanadu, and I would like to welcome my good friends. And first up, I got Jack Hall.
So, back to the stuff. I don't know what else to say. Let's get going.
I figured it was that, or
let's go to scoring.
okay.
We'll do introductions at the end.
Yeah. All right. James Conta, tell us your score of Jack's opening.
Well, I don't rate it on objective quality.
No.
Glad to be here, ready to talk New Kids for 15 to 20 minutes.
All right, so that includes scoring, right? And Nick.
That's why I want to get right to it. Because I know the next episode is going to go long.
Yeah, like make sure your PVR is set that it doesn't cut off at the hour. You know,
yeah.
We might run over, tell the affiliates we might run over.
All right, Nick, say your piece before we get down to business and race through this.
Greetings and salutations. I don't think this is going to be a quick episode. There's a lot to New Kids. I mean, they sing, they dance.
That's true.
Step they by hang step. Up.
Gonna give it to you, girl. That's a New Kids song, right?
Did they all just move to the block? Is that the idea? Like at the same time?
Yeah, probably.
Now I don't understand why they're called that.
There was a rezoning. And the block was extended. Thus, they were the New Kids on the block before they were the kids on the other block.
Are you sure that they were? Because wouldn't that make them the kids on the new block?
No, extended.
Ah, okay.
So they're the new kids there was on the extended city, block.
Nick.
Well, that's accurate, but you know, where's the pizzazz in the new kids on the extended block?
Well, See, thankfully, I'm lost. So that's on the positive side. That
Nick
will set
clearly,
me right up.
Nick is clearly trying to avoid having to tell everybody the plot of this movie.
Oh, no. That's easy.
Nice.
Yeah, no. This is the big bet, except a little bit more violent and rapey. Which is saying something, because the big bet was pretty rapey. What this is some Arby brats have their parents die, and they're shipped off to Florida. Now, obviously, this was funded by the Florida Tourism Board. So it shows all the highlights of Florida. Now, they're new in school. There's a bet who can sleep with the sister. And then Floridians do what Floridians do. Not a complicated movie. The most interesting thing about this movie was actually, I thought the trailer trying to sell it as a horror film from Sean Cunningham was the most interesting thing about this movie. Because this is, well, I mean, it's Yeah, no, it's just a gang of hoodlums trying to get in the sister's pants for an hour.
Did you just watch the trailer hoping that then you wouldn't have to watch the movie? Or, I don't usually watch the trailers for the movies myself. I stick to the film because that's what we're talking about. I just curious.
I had actually never heard of this movie before, and I just wanted to know what I was getting in for.
Yeah. Nobody could deny that Sean Cunningham deserves to be on the list of BS. You know, like I mean.
No doubt about that.
But man, this film is, I don't know. It doesn't embrace the Boogaloo as much as Friday the 13th did. It just give it to you. It's a strange beast because it's mean. It's got schlock elements. It's got all the elements it takes to be the movie. It's just somewhere along the line, I think that Sean Cunningham thought he was a mainstream director and tried to make a mainstream film out of this, with maybe just a little bit more of a mean edge, hard edge, and violence. But I think that's kind of what went wrong with this one from a Boogaloo perspective.
Yeah, it does drift dangerously close to being a good movie.
Yeah,
like, I mean it's got enough over the top elements to keep it into that B category, but it's also got some just, you know, like you said, really mainstream style storytelling that is intermixed with this weird, Florida man who, like Florida panhandle, Southern hick storyline of. I don't think we mentioned James Spader,
lead bad guy, that's right.
With peroxide blonde hair and peroxide blonde eyebrows.
Did anyone else start to wonder, is this where he last started to lose his hair? They used a little bit more peroxide than they needed to.
They used a lot.
All of it.
And every film after this, he was bald.
I think it's funny if you change James Spader and his ridiculously over the top performance and his insanely over the top Southern accent out of this film.
He's the best thing in this movie.
Like it does. It would really tone down the whole Boogaloo feel of it for sure. Mm-hmm. That's a huge amount of the joy of this. The enjoyment for me of this film was Spader's like weird accent where he's money talks and the rest is bullshit.
Yeah, he goes for it, and I don't know why, because you know it's Florida. It's not like Tennessee, or I guess they're close, but people like that have that accent.
Panhandle, I guess. I guess it's the Panhandle. I didn't look up the town on the map, but I mean the Panhandle is more like that because it's closer to like it's next to Louisiana.
They said they were 2 hours away from Disneyland, Disney World, rather.
They better not be too
close. That would actually put them in the northern half of Florida.
Mm. Well, he could have been born there and moved over. Lord knows this film. One thing, if you're looking at rednecks equal Boogaloo, it has Boogaloo.
Yeah,
it's not lacking that.
There are elements of Boogaloo in this. Example: the father hitting on the daughter in the first scene of this movie.
Oh my God! I know.
go into that. Unpack that.
Look, the father is not in this movie long, but his one scene is him waking up the kids to go jogging. First, he tells his son to get up, and when he has trouble getting up, says, "What, you were masturbating too late last night?" And then wakes up the daughter with a "Get that sexy body up."
They do have an interesting relationship, yeah.
"Get that sexy body up" was so creepy. I was like, dude, this is Boogaloo through the roof. This is like the first 2 minutes of the movie, right?
Oh, I was excited. It's like, yes, we got a winner here. And that the rest of the movie isn't that, but it was a weird line.
No. Well, like you say, because the thing about the movie is it opens and you're like, and then he's training these kids and you're like, okay. So he talks to his kid about jacking off, and then he tells his daughter what a sexy body she has. And then he's training them like, cause he's a military guy. And then he goes to some award ceremony with the mom, and then she dies. And it's like 3 minutes in. And then, he fit in what should have been like a half hour's worth of stuff into like almost like just, they just get it out of the way. like, you know, and you're like, oh, he gets a phone call, they're dead. And then they're in Florida. It's just insane.
That's so that you can spend way more time on the pointless nature of trying to establish all the characters at school that it doesn't really matter to before you actually get to the real movie, which is the, you know, the end.
Yeah, the third act is strong.
But yeah,
there's a lot of wandering to get there.
Yeah, the second act, I just found the second act to be really confused.
Like they say, the first act is over right away.
Yeah, but it's just like, what's this movie about? Is this like a teen angst movie with some like crazy rednecks in it? And then it's just like, oh, no, this is totally like, now we're into Straw Dogs territory, so, all right.
That's the thing, is I wasn't sure. I'm like, is it a horror film? Is it an action film? And then eventually you kind of settled it out on it. It's being a thriller, but I mean, going into it, I didn't know. I mean, and like I say, it even when they first show up, you know, to Florida, like you're thinking to yourself for a little while, okay, so the Boogaloo's kind of being there. It hasn't been huge, but it's kind of there. Maybe it'll stick around. You know, the gang that Spader's character leads, is the characters' names were Gideon, Mooney, Gordo, and Joe Bob, which just definitely sounds very Boogaloo. But then it just kind of, like I say, it's got a hard edge to it, but it's just not, crazy, you know.
So they moved to Florida with their uncle, who seems kind of estranged from them, and. And they're going to help him with he's just purchased an amusement park, a really rundown amusement park. And I wrote down in my notes, is this the park from Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I actually wonder.
There were a bunch of Santa's Funland type amusement parks throughout the states. There's a whole documentary on them, actually. Oh, nice. And they were all competing. Yeah. It was a bizarre thing, and none of them were left.
None of them. They couldn't work together. That's too bad. a bit of trivia that I know. This was written by Jake Gyllenhaal's dad.
No kidding.
I was wondering Steve that. I saw his name in the credits and went, Gyllenhaal. Holy shit.
Yep.
And then I forgot to look it up.
How many Gyllenhaals can there be?
There's at least four.
Yeah.
That's how the kids got into the industry.
Yeah, they were Hollywood kids, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that. No, that's cool. Yeah.
But Lori Loughlin is starring in this. So in the opening scene, she goes for a run with her dad, and she's doing all kinds of calisthenics, and she's going to compete at school and something. And I thought, you know, I'm glad she learned from this that you don't have to work this hard on your extracurriculars to get into college.
That's right. I was waiting for the line
till one of us could get it in, and you did, James. Not only did you get it in, but that was strong.
See, I was assuming from the dance scene that it was a dance scholarship she was on.
Oh my gosh.
Big hair scholarship, maybe. I mean, she's her poofy do and helmet head and James Spader going. There should have been an Oscar here for the hair designer, honestly. It's some great work. We got Eric Stoltz as the nice guy kid. The cast is really neat, actually.
Oh yeah.
The main guy disappeared. I don't know what else he's done. Shannon Presby. I don't know what else he went on to do, but
went on to become a lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, became a very successful prosecutor.
Oh,
he was in I think 7 episodes of a television show after this, and then he just left the industry and went on to become a lawyer. So, wow. I mean, it was good for him. It was a good choice. A very successful lawyer.
Well, I am almost ready to go scoring. I feel like I've kind of talked this one out already. It's been like 10 minutes.
I have next to nothing to say about this movie.
I have one question that maybe that will generate a little conversation, and then we'll go to scoring. So at one point, things are ramping up. Things have escalated very quickly. And honestly, our heroes have not helped.
Nope.
Because it's a little shoving at school, And then our hero, Lauren, breaks into James Spader's house and like threatens to kill him. So it really like it. This was not a one-sided escalation. And then, you know, James Spader's upset by that. So things are kind of ramping along. And then one of the guys says he wants out. He wants done with James Spader and his crew. And James Spader says, "Want out? You're out." And I had to stop him like, out of what exactly? Because I was never clear what they do besides dog fighting.
Well, and there was talk about, at that point, there was talk about some sort of like, well, you don't get the money or whatever from something.
The drug dealer.
They show like, you know, like a half an ounce of weed or something in his house when they break in. But like, there's no other indication that they're moving drugs.
No, they did establish that. There was a couple of points where James Spader's a big time drug dealer, is from what I gathered.
Yeah, it was like, so it was like cocaine. It was hard stuff. And he's heavies? Establishing drugs as well as taking a lot of drugs.
Are they as heavies then?
Very confusing because the one time we actually saw drugs, they were holding a bag of weed and then said China white.
God bless Sean Cunningham for having no idea what drugs were in the mid-80s.
Yeah, that's impressive. Don't even think about it. Research would not have been hard in the mid-80s.
Either that or he was so high on China White that he was just like he snorted all the China White then had to substitute it with a bag of weed.
They're about to shoot the scene, and they're like, where's the prop bag? Where's the prop bag of China White? Prop bag? What do you mean?
Here, take this. This is close enough.
Yeah, I got something left. Something to take the edge off at the end of the day is all I got.
Go into the cupboard. Okay, pull it up.
Well, let's just talk about the overall, like, if these are all rednecks, not just the bad guys, but all the good guys, except for Eric Stoltz's character, is just totally out of place. Yeah. Every other character, even the ones that are likable, that the in this town are just like the most like.
There were other characters in this.
Yes, everybody.
Like I did not see a single person redneck. That was not involved in the plot.
Everybody, the police, the uncle, the police officers, everybody's just such a stupid redneck in this town.
Oh, the police officer, good Lord. I mean, how does anything get done? Well, again, and for another time, well, you know, we can't really do anything because we don't really have any evidence.
there's no evidence aside from eyewitness testimony. and by the way, Homestead, Florida, about as far south in Florida as you can go.
Okay.
Right next to the Everglades National Park and Key Largo.
Yep.
South of Miami and 5 hours drive from Disney World.
Wow. And really not close at all to Louisiana.
Anywhere close to the Panhandle. I'll be as far away from the Panhandle as you can get and still be in Florida, basically.
So basically, all that they're hoping is that these guys came out of the Everglades. Because it's wandered. Fucking close to the Everglades.
Yeah, that's all I can think. They're the descendants of the people who got trapped in that hotel in Key Largo. all right. Well, let's go to scoring.
We've done our best to stretch
In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
In our search for the ultimate B movie, we stumbled across The New Kids, and we took a wrong turn. So it has some schlock. The way I liken this was that I actually felt that watching this movie with the Boogaloo lens actually hurt the movie, because when we started watching it. You get the interaction with the son and the daughter, and yes, you feel like, okay, we're on a Boogaloo track, and then it just kind of wends its way to the end, and I'm not really sure where it's supposed to go or what I'm supposed to be watching, and every minute I'm like, okay, is this going to be Boogaloo? No, not really. Nope. And so I felt like I was just kind of in a heightened state of waiting for Boogaloo that never came. And it's not like waiting for Godot or something like that.
I was about to say, that sounds like a really interesting play, waiting for
in this case, I was waiting for it, never really came, so I'm only going to go with a 4.
Wow, judging from your lead up, I was expecting a 1 or 2. I'll give it 1 point for Sean Cunningham on the dads from Schlock, and 1 point begrudgingly because the title, either of the titles, I believe this is also called Strangleland or something like that, Strike Back, I don't care, has nothing to do with the movie itself. So I can only get it up for a 2.
Oh yeah, there's a original poster which was pretty cool, and then there's like for the DVD release, a poster with an axe, because again they're still trying to sell this as a horror movie when it's not really a horror movie. Like, and there's, I don't believe there's an axe in this entire film. So yeah. Oh,
but the poster, it's the first poster is Boogaloo.
Oh yeah, the first poster.
That is amazing. A new Ticket to Terror from the director of Friday the 13th. They are alone on their own. I can't even read it.
It's a lot of words. There's like 100 words on this on this poster. It's basically it's trying to be it's like everyone come up with a pitch line and then they just put all of them on there.
Yeah, the new kids and they can't afford to lose.
And when that's about all I had, that and Sean Cunningham going into this, I'm my expectations were high. I'll give it a 5. Because it definitely has that B movie feel. Nobody can mistake this, I don't think, for a mainstream high budget movie, but it's trying too hard to be one to get any higher score than that.
Oh wow! Yeah, there are masks on this poster.
Oh yeah. Oh, now that I can see it, they are alone on their own, without parents, without friends, trying to make it in a new town, facing a dangerous new enemy, a gang that will stop at nothing. To add one new word to their lives, terror.
Were there masks in
That's
this
why
movie?
I thought it was an action film, though.
So I'm imagining they're in the office there and like, hey, can you get the intern to punch this up a little bit? maybe take like half the words out? Like, nah, he's gone for lunch. All right, just print it.
Yeah. Yeah, because, man, I love the poster. Like, that poster's so Boogaloo. Like, them in obviously a theme park, somebody with a gun. You got all the crazy elves in behind them. I mean, that's Boogaloo.
I tell you, Nick mentioned the trailer. If you took the last line of this movie and made that the beginning of your trailer, I would have been there opening night. See where the dope crazed vandals met their end.
Yeah,
like that's your friggin' tag for the poster. That's what gets the VHS picked up right there. I 4. I think all the packaging and everything was there, but yeah. it doesn't stick the landing.
If you had decided, if you took everything in this movie that is, took that script and decided, I'm going to make this Boogaloo, you could have.
Oh, yeah. With not much work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like they couldn't decide what the tone was supposed to be. Because it wildly goes from, like, Deliverance to, like, after school special.
Yeah. I know.
Swing. And I think no one told Eric Stoltz which one he was in, clearly.
Well,
I don't think at any point.
What a crazy time in his career. He does this. The Mask comes out, I think, 3 months later, and he had just missed out on a lot of other key roles. Like, and his career takes off. Back to the Future, clearly, obviously. So I mean, you have the Back to the Future thing that they just missed out on. You have the Mask about to come out and get him a Golden Globe nomination. And then you have this kind of sandwiched in between all this. Like, what a crazy time in his life.
What's he do now?
I don't know. Like,
he's on some show. All right, let's not get distracted. we'll cover. I'm sure we'll do a whole season of Eric Stoltz at some point. the next category is called More Heart Than Budget.
Well, the okay. So looking at the Wikipedia page. for this. It shows the budget being really quite high. And then
that's not good.
And then as far as the let me just bring that up again.
$6 million. It was $6 million, which is definitely B movie level, but high for Boogaloo.
And then it says the box office is $199,108. So let's just say it did not do well. Like it's hard to say, right? Because like everybody, when you talk about the cast, you talk about the fact that you've got Lori Loughlin, you've got Eric Stoltz, you've got James Spader, you've got Tom Atkins, you know, like you've got recognizable people in it, but I don't know where they were in their careers at that in 1985. But other than James Spader kind of bringing the crazy, I wasn't feeling a whole lot of, you know, love for anything like, oh, wow, this is a movie, like a great movie. I'm going to explore everything that I can with this character. And $6 million is a lot to go into Homestead, Florida and get what they got, which really wasn't very much in my mind, you know. So I'm guessing it had to be Sean Cunningham, you know, and the China White. So I'm only going to go with three.
Yeah, no one is uniformly bad in this movie. Everyone gives a performance. I'll give it a three for James Spader, you know, really laying it out there. No one can say he phoned it in, but everyone is competent. For $6 million, I want to see something from somebody, and James Spader is the only one who brought it.
It's a professionally made movie, but there's not a lot of passion in the movie, so I'll give it a four.
Four for you. I missed Nick's because I was trying to, I was back to trying to figure out if this is the same place from Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny. What was your score there?
I gave
you
it
want
a three.
To just hit pause three. Here, or three,
yeah. Well, I could watch Thumbelina again. I mean, while we're doing the rest of the scoring,
you did develop a crush on that actress.
Well, she's lovely now, pushing 60, lady. I actually was going to go a little higher, and then you told me $6 million. And I'm like, I doubt buying the park would have been $100,000.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
Like, you could have just, you don't have to rent this thing. You just outright purchase it for that. And then just burn the thing down when you're done. So two for me. What the fuck moments?
Yeah, well, I mean, the top was a little what the fuck, and I think there is moments of what the fuck that are in here. When I think of what the fuck for this movie, I primarily think of the like kind of rapid changes between the style of movie that he's trying to tell, where it's just like, oh, it's that teen movie. Oh no, it's Straw Dogs. It's like, whoa, like what the fuck? Why are we going here? And then there's a point where they're at the prom thing, the dance, and Lori Loughlin's character has to go to the bathroom, and she winds up having to go to the bathroom what looks like across the field somewhere near like where the girls' change rooms are, nowhere near where the like where it looks like the gym is. Like, she has to walk down the worst hallway, and suddenly I'm like, wow, it's class of 1984 all over again. But like but so that just seemed really what the fuck. Like, I've never seen a school where, like, if you're at a gym and you and at a dance, and you have to go to the bathroom, it's not, like, at least just 10 feet away. Maybe it's a change room, but it's 10 feet away, not, like, down the horrible hallway.
and then they kidnap her where she doesn't, where she hides behind a wall. Sorry, I'm stealing
no,
this
please,
one. But
please.
She hides behind, she turns the corner because she's suspecting something, hides behind the wall. And then they just grab her. I'm like, how did she not see them coming around the corner? They're clearly about a foot away from her as they grab her the whole time.
You were missing the most Boogaloo thing. James Spader is hiding behind the door of the bathroom as she exits.
That's true.
There is nowhere for him to stand. The door backs into a wall. She would have purposely had to open the door just far enough that it didn't hit him without breaking his nose.
That really would have put the whole kidnapping thing on the wrong foot if he had broken his nose immediately, like at the beginning of the kidnapping.
Oh, totally. And then they do kidnap her and they take her out somewhere, like to the middle of the Everglades, I assume, so that they can rape her. And then, of course, she manages to, they douse her in gas. She manages to get away from them. And then the next thing you know...
What was the plan with the gas, anyway?
It seems a big
That was my boogaloo moment.
Like
was...
They had, like, two different plans there. Yeah, maybe they didn't discuss what the plan was, and we're going to burn her, right? And we're like, that wasn't my plan.
One guy's taking off his pants, yet they're dousing her with gasoline, which, like... Somehow I thought, yeah, you know, that would get her naked, I suppose, if she had the freedom to take off her own clothes. But the plan was not clear at all. I mean, it felt rapey, but until we actually got the shot of the guy's ass, I wasn't sure that's what they were going for. It was a rape scene.
And then,
yeah, it was. It did take a long time to establish itself as rape.
Yes, yes. And then she manages to pull a deadly prey and run to the theme park.
Her for the whole movie, like they set her up at the beginning. You think she's going to be just as much of a badass as anybody else, but no. When the movie starts, she is not.
And then I don't know how anybody figures out where to find them in the first place. They're pretty much just like, well, I guess we're going to have to go back to the theme park because now that we know that she's missing.
No, they...
It's the only other set we built, so yeah, I guess that's where we have to go.
See, you're assuming she ran farther. I thought they took her back to the theme park because they needed the blood from the animals to upset the dogs.
This is one of those cases where you have thought this plan through way more than they thought this plan through. Yeah. And I mean the characters in the film.
Or anybody.
But filmmakers or characters. Yeah.
So that whole segment and then this is the point where we actually pretty much lose Eric Stoltz completely for the rest of the movie.
I wondered if they didn't have him for enough days or something.
Yeah, because he doesn't appear at all. They mention him at the very end. As like, he's off here. He's waiting
gonna be
for
here
us.
Any minute now. Yeah.
But, you know, they take the time to establish Eric Stoltz as the nice guy for Lori Loughlin and the girlfriend for Shannon, whatever his name is, whatever his character name was. They take the time to establish them and use them in no way, shape, or form in the movie. So,
they're in the afternoon special side of the movie.
Yes.
James Spader's in the horror movie side.
So for that, I'll give it a 5 because this movie had no idea what it actually was.
Oh, Jesus, you hadn't even scored it yet? I thought we were way past you.
Yeah, you took the most boogaloo. You did miss the end. The end was beautiful. Where the uncle is standing outside his park, just raking in the cash with a sign that says, "Bloodbath at Santa's Village." Supposedly mass murder or some kind of criminal activity all of a sudden is a draw for everyone to come and have fun at Santa's Funland.
That's actually the most realistic thing in the movie.
Hey kids, a bunch of people were murdered here. Want to go see it?
Yeah, that's, yeah. I would stop for that.
It's so funny, though, the way it's presented. Because you're sure that the uncle is dead. And then all of a sudden, he's just there going.
He just walks it off.
Yeah. Oh, and the kid at the end, just staring off like, these motherfuckers. Like, they were preparing for the sequel on this one.
God, that's ballsy.
Oh, that kid. When you saw that happen, and it's just like, for real? Like
whatever. Oh, yeah.
What would the title have been? New Kids, The Old Kid?
even newer kids.
The newest kids.
Yeah. Newest kids.
I'm glad I saw this. I enjoyed the hell out of it, but Boogaloo probably not. Oh, I need a score.
Yeah, I was thinking. I was waiting to get in here.
Jackman.
You didn't score it yet.
He did. He said three.
Did you? Oh, three. Okay.
I don't see. Sometimes it's hard to hear the score. I don't know. Sometimes you're looking up other Santa's villages and you miss it. Sometimes it just kind of gets mixed in with other things.
I found the fact that they just established the father as this military guy and the mother, and then all of a sudden in a phone call they're dead. Like, just when you're about to establish the characters and you're thinking you're going to get to know them so it would have some impact, and they said that they're dead, then there's a funeral, then they're in Florida. And the kids, by the way, they handle all this very well. Like, it is not upset at all with this sequence of events. I found that pretty WTF. I think the police officer at some point in time when he's called to the amusement park and there's for a crime, and his line at the end was, "Well, I guess I got to do some investigating now, huh?" I thought that was a little WTF.
I thought that fit right into the investigating he'd been doing all the whole time.
I'm like, yes, that is part of your job, I suppose, as a police officer. But my favorite Boogaloo moment is when they show up. The uncle brings them from the funeral to Florida, and they show up, and he shows them where they're going to live and this and that. You know, and he says the line is, "Well, let's celebrate. We'll get some hot dogs."
And hamburgers.
No, he just said dogs.
No, he said burgers. I rewatched the movie. I am very rarely wrong when it comes to food.
Yeah. don't question him in his zone. Yeah.
It's like, let's spend 42 cents on a meal and celebrate.
Hey, this guy's a get-rich-quick scheme guy. That's all he's got on him right now is 42 cents to celebrate.
Occasionally, I'll celebrate with hot dogs. I'm sorry, you're just prejudiced against the dog.
That's true.
Hot dogs are awesome.
Five.
All right. Well, I got a couple. There's still a couple left for me here. So they've got this bet that you know, one of them's going to sleep with Lori Loughlin, which, you know, so we may have seen that plot before. Yes. It goes in a strange direction. So, but the tries to pick her up are the most amazingly awkward, disturbing wooing that has ever been seen on film. So one guy goes up to her in the library and invites her. What was he doing? He invites her to a dog fight.
Yep.
You know, says like, I don't know what you see in all these books and shit. James Spader shows up at her the amusement park, which also has a gas station attached to it. You gotta diversify. And and impresses her by getting $4 of gas pumped into his van.
Hey, he did try to pay with 100.
It's right. And you know, he asks her out. She says no. He asks her out, and she says no. And he says, and then he's like very intensely says, "I'm asking nicely." And I wrote down these guys are irresistible.
Yeah. How could she? The one in the library, you have to almost see it to believe it. He like literally comes over to her. He like hangs all over her. He's chewing gum, just practically drooling on her. And you're like, geez, how can she turn that down? Just that charm.
Hey, perhaps things are different in the Florida Everglades, and that kind of thing is the best way to pitch woo.
I was about to say, you're being way too hard on this, guys. That is Florida chic.
See, you know, it's just like we're used to our own ways of pitching our own woo. But maybe it's different.
That's what I do to be able to sleep at night.
My favorite, Jay Spader's accent was pretty what the fuck, but my top what the fuck moment for this is I mentioned that you know, our hero breaks into James Spader's house to threaten him. James Spader's in, like, you know, basically bikini shorts when he's sleeping. That's a little awkward. But if you look closely at the wall of the room of James Spader, so it's his own bedroom, he has a picture on the wall of himself.
That's fantastic. How it's did like I miss that?
It's a promotion. It's like a you know, actor's headshot. They probably just like, do you have a picture of yourself? Like, I got this.
That's wicked.
You know, I never realized you know, he had such a body on him. Like, he should have been in Top Gun.
I admit
that was not a sentence I expected to hear any of us say during the episode.
I'm sorry, I know James Spader of today, who basically plays schlubs. And, you know, in this movie, he was doing the studly thing. And
he was an attractive man for his, like, you know, for about 10 years. He was quite a, what's the male version of sex pot? I don't know. 5 is what I gave it anyway. This movie, anyway. Tough,
I can't believe where we've gotten up to.
Tough Turf, which came out a little while after this, he's the new kid actually that comes into the territory, and he becomes a sex symbol coming out of that movie.
And when did men start wearing bikini briefs? This must have been early in, like, the, you know, the Ike Lycra type underwear.
I may disrespect hot dogs, but you do not disrespect bikini briefs.
The banana hammock?
Yeah, you do not. The nut hugger does that much.
Spader and the Italian Stallion. Memorable moments.
Well, I mean, honestly, there's probably, I mean, I have forgotten a lot of this movie after 2 weeks. There's no question about that. You know, we did talk about it earlier, and I know it was Boogaloo, but the line "designer jeans for this sexy little body" is never gonna come out of my head now. And then there's a point where the uncle is all getting super excited because they got some money, they got some customers, and he says, "Soon enough, we're gonna be farting through silk." And I thought, oh, okay. Well, that's a word picture, an interesting word picture that you've put forth there. So just for those, I'll give.
Isn't that also a cliche? I've heard that elsewhere.
Well, fair enough. I don't know that I've heard it elsewhere, so I'm going to give it a 4.
I have to go lower too. I am not going to remember this movie next week. I might have seen it before, and nothing stuck. Yeah, 2 is the highest I can give it. There's nothing memorable about this. The most memorable thing for me would probably be I spent 3 hours after the movie trying to figure out what was happening in the rape scene. And rape is pretty simple in a movie, I suppose.
See, this is where the fact that they went more mainstream with it is helping me. I think that the decapitation was pretty memorable. I think the lighting
what
on fire.
What decapitation?
There was a decapitation on the...
With the roller coaster.
Roller
right.
coaster, yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty memorable.
The decapitation, you were the only one who remembered.
Yeah. I thought it was memorable. And same with the lighting on fire and that whole thing. Plus, just to me, this incredibly impressive young cast of actors that either met the potential or didn't, but had a great potential, that was impressively put together. That's one thing Cunningham, you have to give him credit for, is being able to find an impressive young cast. I'm a little higher on this, quite a bit higher than you guys. I give this a 6.
Nice. So when this movie came up, I said, I've seen that. And this woman, and one of, who was it, you, Stan, that put this up?
Nope.
No, and you said, well, maybe I shouldn't do it. I'm like, don't worry. I don't remember anything of it. And it wasn't that long ago. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. It wasn't like I watched this in the 80s. And honestly, I watched it 2 weeks ago and still had to kind of rewatch about half of it. So only 1 for me. It's proven not to be memorable to me.
I don't think I'll forget James Spader's hair.
That's literally the only thing I remembered. I'm like, is that the one with James Spader's got the weird blonde hair? Our final category is crazy concept.
I'll give it some points because even though I think that all of the elements have been done before, not all of the elements have been done in the same movie. Generally, you don't normally go from after school special to like the crazy rape, deliverance, straw dogs kind of action plus, you know, the get rich quick scheme, crazy guy, crazy uncle. So for that, I'll give it a 5, but it's not like it hasn't been done before. Just not in this order.
I can't even go that high. I have to say the pitch of this movie probably was, how much money can Cunningham get if he doesn't do a horror film?
The answer, $199,000.
Oh, he can get $6 million, but
yeah, there was no thought behind this movie. No, this is just him trying to establish a actual career outside the horror genre and failing pretty spectacularly miserably. Like, wow, yeah, two.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot, like it's stuff that's been out there before, but it takes a lot of it and does turn it on its head and twists it and puts it in an order. There's really no first act. There's no, like normal movie structure does not apply to this thing. There's only one act essentially. Like it's just boom. Like the characterizations and the way it goes 0 to 100. Like, okay, these guys are assholes. Here we go. Like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take its time to do anything. And so in that way, it's got a weird vibe to it that kind of gives it this crazy concept. But it is all familiar shit. So I'm only going to go with a 4.
I think as Stan said, it's the weird, like, giant swing between tone that is that's the big kind of standout thing for me. I'm only gonna go with a 3 on it though. All right, that brings us to the end of scoring. Each season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film does have a 1. It does get a -1 for the handicap modifier. Every movie this year, if it does not score a 60 coming out of the main round of scoring, gets another -1 to ding it for having been in the season at all. and that is that brings us to 35 out of 100, which puts it in the bottom 5 movies we have done so far.
Definitely understandable. It does not seem like when you're watching it and you're going through, especially when you look at some of the other movies that we've been talking about, like, I mean, it's like Deadly Prey, Cyborg Cop, The Weird Man, and then you've got, well, both State Park and New Kids suddenly, like, we took a turn, and then, you know, this is like, oh, man, but, you know, like, so much, and you see, like, Chopping Mall, it, like, they're crazy over the top, and then it's like, it's the New Kids. Oh, okay, yeah, so it's a movie.
Yes, once again, I don't disagree with where our scoring landed.
No.
I'm glad
although
you're here.
I'd like to
remind, as a check and balance, yeah.
I would like to remind people that objective quality is not a factor, because this is actually a damn good film. I enjoyed the hell of it. I just,
yeah.
On our scale, it does not score well.
Exactly. If I watch this again, I would not want to watch it with a Boogaloo lens. I would just want to watch it as I'll watch that and let's see if I actually enjoy it with, you know, as a movie.
It does skew the way you're looking at things, for sure.
Mm, it does.
All right, well, next episode, we are going off the deep end because we are going to watch Samurai Cop from Amir Shervan. So that should, you know, wrap us up on a good note, I would hope. Jim, let's do some business.
What else is happening next episode, though?
Oh, nothing else.
That I'm almost looking forward to more than talking about Samurai Cop.
Nothing at all. Nothing. We're not choosing new movies or anything like that. So nope, nothing. Nothing at all. Jim, business.
All right. You can find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, where you'll find out what season 9 is. And you can find our podcast sponsors, We Talk Podcasts, at wetalkpodcast.com. And they are on Twitter and on Facebook. And they'll also keep you up to date on what movies we're going to do in season 9.
That's right. And you can watch Samurai Cop on Tubi, just like we did.
Indeed. Yes, you can. For free on Tubi.
That's right. So, yes, next episode, we are moving on with Season 8, Simply the BS with Samurai Cop. And yes, Jack, we are choosing movies for Season 9. So I know you're excited. Well, I think we're all excited.
Announcing our movies for Season 9 is probably a better way to put it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, given that we all have like 10 movies, I think well, choosing is pretty accurate.
I'm up to 17 movies.
I was just averaging out just in case. But, you know, there's going to be... a lot
almost,
of movies.
Almost enough to get through the Nick filter.
yeah, that's really it. It's like that one big Nick filter. But okay, we've gone too far too fast.
Too close to the sun, Stan. Wrap up.
That's right. So join us next episode on Season 8, Simply the BS, and let's get out of here. So for Jim, for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadoo. And thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
You want to go to a dog fight?
They are brother and sister alone.
I said Mac and Mom are dead. Killed in a car crash.
On their own. Without parents. Without friends. Trying to make it in a new town.
Something bothering you, cousin?
No. Nothing ever bothers me.
Facing a dangerous new enemy.
I can get it.
Says who?
That's me and $50.
A gang that will stop at nothing to add one new word to their lives. Terror.
You think we ought to light ourselves a little fire?
You want crazy? Well, I'll show you crazy.
From the director of the original Friday the 13th comes a new Ticket to Terror. Striking Back.
You want crazy? Well, I'll show you crazy.